On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be all right.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program of enormous proportions. Look at the size of this thing. Welcome, sit down, make yourself comfortable. I'll be entertaining you for the next 30 minutes as best I can, which is, no, it's not all that good. Yes, it is. What am I talking about? Let me introduce some of the people at the beginning of the week that helped me out with this program, that make it so fantastic that it's unbelievably interesting to listen to. First, there's a lovely and talented John Shanahan, comedy writer. Bon vivant. He's a bon vivant. I don't know what that means, but he's one. He has his own website music thing going. It's pretty cool. Hypnagogue. Check it out. It's at our website there, newenglandbroadcasting.com. You can find it there, a connection to it. I don't know. I don't know the lingo for that. John Shanahan, ladies and gentlemen, announcer, does many of the comedy commercials, actually all of them, and funny man. And then there's a lovely and talented, oh my God, Jason Shaw. Have you ever seen him in a skirt? Not so bad, really. Nice knees, babe. He does the background music, the open and closing themes for the program. Thank you so much, Jason Shaw. Then there's lovely and talented Nicole Reed, who doesn't do all that much. She books many of the national interviews that we do on this program, and she's the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. Is she really British? Nah, I don't think so. And those are just some of the people that make the show possible. There are others, but I just don't have time or interest to talk about them. Then there's me. I show up every once in a while. I don't know why. And then there's you. Without you, there would be no life. There would be no life on the planet. Oh, man. What is this, the last week of July? Thank God. Enough of this crap, huh? Yeah, we all look forward to the summer. We just can't wait for the nice weather and go outside and do things. But it's so oppressive and hot and humid that you can't do anything. You have to run inside and shield from the sun. I mean, come on, man. What kind of place is this? I'm going to Uranus. Oh, there's a joke there somewhere. I had planned to do my pantomime act for you. Really? You want me to do it now? Oh, all right. Stop hounding me. I'll do it for you now. All right. No music, please. Ladies and gentlemen, my famous pantomime act, which I have performed throughout the world, actually just in my basement, but I'm going to expand someday. All right, here it is. Now I'm going to make believe I'm stuck in a box. Look at me. See, I'm putting my hands up against the sides. But I can't get out. Now I'm doing the top and the bottom, but I can't get out. This is unbelievable. Ron, how do you do that? It looks like you're inside a box. I know it does. This is my talent. Now I'm going to make believe I'm walking upstairs and I'm like marching, but I'm really not going upstairs. Quite obviously, I'm still in a box. But I'm trying to go up the stairs. Look at this. It's unbelievable. It looks like you're going upstairs, but there are no stairs here and you're not moving at all. I know. That's how I exercise. It looks like I'm moving. It looks like I'm exercising, but I'm not. Now I'm going to pull on a rope. Oh, don't even attempt to do that one. Yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm pulling on the rope. We don't know what's on the other side, but apparently it's giving me some resistance. Every once in a while, I have to like do a tug of war with this imaginary thing on the end of this imaginary rope. "Wow, Ron, you have just performed the most incredible pantomime act I've ever seen." "I know I have. Is it worth the money? Every penny that I'm not paying to listen to this, yes, it is." And that is my pantomime act. Maybe some other day I'll do my magic act for you. I can actually pull a rabbit out of a hat, a real live rabbit, on the radio that you can't see. You just have to believe me. It's kind of like Trump with the election. Political humor. Yeah, I threw it in. Donald Trump, man, he just a few days ago, he actually said this in front of his thongs and throngs of people. He actually said, "They're not coming after me. They're coming after you." Don, you got that kind of backwards. They're not coming after them. They're just coming after you. They didn't do that shit. You did. "No, they're coming after you." No, Don, they're coming after you. Oh, my God, you turn everything around. You're like the opposite. You're like George Costanza on Seinfeld. You know, "I've always ordered the tuna sandwich. I'm going to order the chicken sandwich." And it worked. All right, enough about that. I thought today I'd keep the show kind of light. Not heavy, but light. I was astounded by our friends across the pond, which means England. The pond is the Atlantic Ocean. That's a big pond. I don't see a lot of ducks swimming there serenely. We call it the pond. They actually call it the pond. Again, their definitions of things are a little bit askew, to say the least. It's more than a pond, it's a freaking ocean. Anyway, here's some of the things that the British people call objects that we call them something different. So we are different even though we speak the same language. I'm telling you, if I get a telemarketer on the phone, I would prefer it be British than any other language that I can't understand readily. I don't want to talk about that today. That's a whole nother show. Anyway, French fries to us, they're fries. In England, they're called chips. What? I thought those are potato chips. I know. It's different. Careful what you say in England. You're going to get the wrong thing. You like cookies? In England, they call them biscuits. We call biscuits something else. They call them cookies or biscuits to them. I don't know. I don't know what anvil fell on their heads. I really don't. Lovely people, but we just call things different things. That's all. It's not a big deal. Stop it. What about the hood of your car? Yeah, and the trunk of your car. That's what we call them. They call it the boot and the bonnet. Yeah, the boot would be the trunk, and the bonnet is the hood of the car. I don't know why. I just picture them driving around with baby bonnets tied to the hood of their cars, because that's what they call it. Of course, we call apartments, you know, they're apartments. That's what we stay in. They stay in flats. It's their flat. All right. I call flat something else, and she didn't appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a good day. The freeway, we call it the freeway here, the highway, the freeway. In England, they call it the motorway, which makes sense. Okay, that's cute. We walk down the sidewalk. We're on the sidewalk. Over there, you're walking on the pavement.
Yes, I was taking a stroll down the pavement today.
What pavement?
Well, that's the sidewalk to you, isn't it? Yeah.
Gasoline, we put gasoline in our car. We put gas in our car. You know what they put in their car? Petrol. What's that? That's gasoline. Petroleum. We get the mail. We get emails. They get emails too. But they call the mail something different. They call it the post.
Yes, did you go down to the post today?
Now, we do call it the post office, oddly enough. So there is a connection there. We don't call it the mail office. We call it the post office. Well, they call everything that has to do with mail. They call it all post. We call it mail. Is this interesting to you? Have you fallen asleep? course, we call it the mailman or the mailwoman. I mean, we got to be fair about this now. They call it the postman. And you know that from the Beatles songs. We go to the bar. Don't we go to the bar? Oh, we go to the bar. They don't go to the bar. They go to the pub. Same thing. Same thing. In this country, we call some of our bars pubs, but only in deference to our European neighbors across the pond. Hey, I got to pee. Got to go to the restroom. In England, you got to go to the public toilet. And I got to tell you something. I think public toilet is kind of right. It is a toilet. It's in public. It's a public toilet. When I have to go to the bathroom in public, a restroom, what am I resting here? I'm not resting anything. I'm not going into the bathroom to take a rest. So that is weird in this country that we call it a restroom. I must say, that's a little crazy. So on that I side with the British people, my friends across the pond. You like candy? In Britain, in England, they call it sweets, which is, again, it's proper. That's pretty much what it is. It's sweets. We call it candy. They call it sweets. I think the sweets kind of wins on that one. I'm going to go to the faucet and get a glass of water. I'm going to turn on the faucet. Oh, really? We're going to turn on the tap. The tap sounds like what the beer comes out of. Yeah, the water comes out of in the sink, and that's called, not a faucet, it's called a tap. Okay. Well, I'm going to put on a pair of pants before I go outside. Well, in England, they put on trousers. I don't know what a trouser is. It's pants, but I don't know where that word comes from. To trouse, to put on pants. The act of putting on pants is trousing. I don't know. I made that up. We used to wear vests. Remember that? You get married, you got to put a tuxedo on with a vest. Cops wear a vest, a bulletproof vest. In England, they call it a waistcoat. It is a coat for your waist. I get it. I get why you call it that. I get it. Not a bad idea. Where do I keep my waistcoat and my vest? I keep it in the closet. Oh, no. We keep it in the wardrobe. It's in the wardrobe. Well, that makes sense. That is your wardrobe that's in that little container. That is a wardrobe. So, okay, I get it, man. I get it. I'm feeling you. I'm feeling you. We vacuum. We have a vacuum. We vacuum the house. We're vacuuming now. We've turned it into a verb. We're vacuuming.
Oh, really? We're going to Hoover the house.
Excuse me.
We're going to Hoover. We're going to Hoover right now. We're hoovering.
See, they've taken the name of a very popular brand and they've made it the entire industry and the entire action as a generic. We do that with Kleenex, don't we? Do you have a tissue?
No.
Hey, do you have a Kleenex? Wow, you've named the only brand you can think of? You've named the most popular brand. We do that with Coke, too. I know you drink Pepsi, but hey, can I have a Coke? They're not all Coke. I know, but that's the generic thing for it. Wow. Interesting. When I was growing up, we had copy machines. Can you make a copy of this, please? Actually, can you make a Xerox of this? We called it Xeroxing. Anything copying the copy machine, whether it was a Xerox, there were IBM, Pitney Bowes, there were other copy machine manufacturers back then, but we called them Xeroxes. It's a Xerox copy. Interesting, huh? Anyway, let's move on. In the schools, we have janitors. In the office buildings, we have janitors, the people that clean up your mess. In England, they're called caretakers. Well, here, we're caretakers are someone who takes care of old people or people that are sick and can't take care of themselves. So there we have a split there. Got a split on that one. You go down to the drugstore, they go down to the chemist. Ooh, what are you concocting over there in the chemist? The chemist. There's no chemicals involved in making pills go from a big bottle to a little bottle. That's not chemistry. Yeah, we have a divided highway, you know, with a line down the middle. It's a divided road. In England, it's a dual carriageway. It's a carriageway.
How quaint.
In the days, you know, there were just horses and carriages, so they were carriageways. Interesting. You could update that terminology, but no, I guess not. Hey, you know, we're going to go on a vacation. It's the summer. It's time to go on a vacation. You know what they do in England? They go on holiday. They don't even say a holiday. They just say holiday.
Yes, we're on holiday right now.
What holiday are you on?
No, you don't understand. We're away at a beachside resort.
On a holiday?
No, we call it a holiday. We made it a holiday. Never mind.
It's going to rain outside. Got to get your raincoat. In England, they get their Macintosh. Well, how is an apple going to keep you dry? I guess, again, that's a brand, a manufacturing of raincoats. Macintosh, it's a type of raincoat. That's what they wear. That's what they call it. And that's just some of the terminology that takes place across the pond. Interesting, isn't it? No? Well, I thought it was. Excuse me. We're going to take a short commercial break. I do have what do you call them? Guests? I have a guest coming up rather shortly. But first, what are you going to do tonight? I got a place that you can go, and I'm serious about this.
Looking for a fun night out? Check out that bar near your house, now featuring live entertainment all weekend. Friday night, it's one guy and a guitar playing 90s cover tunes and original songs about his recent breakup. Catch a dose of classic rock on Saturday nights with that band fronted by that chick you knew in high school who's still pretty hot after a couple drinks. Sunday afternoons, it's three old guys and a hipster doing their very best to play jazz. And don't miss the big hot Sunday dance party with your DJ, the bartender's second wife's stepson with those weird things in his ears. It's all happening this weekend at that bar near your house. Not too far to drive, just a little too far to walk. We'll see you there.
Some people actually eat dinner at their bar down the street near your house. Really?
Looking to try somewhere new for dinner tonight? Come to that bar near your house with a new chef out on work release, ready to tempt your taste buds with delicious specials. Start off with deep-fried meat and cheese things, crispy on the outside and nearly warm on the inside, with a house-made dipping sauce that's almost certainly just mayonnaise and ketchup. How about a pepperoni pizza served hot and fresh out of the supermarket? Or the big quarter-pound hamburger cooked just the way you like it, as long as the way you like it is well done or inedibly raw? Order a local craft beer from a wide selection that includes IPAs. IPAs, and of course, IPAs. And when you're ready for dessert, the bartender can point you to some place that actually does that kind of thing. Ready for dinner? Head to that bar near your house. Not too far to drive, just a little too far to walk. We'll see you there.
Jeff Allworth joins us now. He is the author of The Beer Bible. That's right. Before there was life, there was beer. And here it is. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Jeff, this is not only the first Beer Bible, it is number two. So we even have updates on the beer, I guess, because the beer world is changing rapidly, isn't it?
It really is. And actually, it's nice to talk to you, the kind of the epicenter of change that sparked this new edition started right there in New England. So yeah, it's appropriate that I'd be talking to you.
It is appropriate, and I am the catalyst for you writing the book, quite obviously. Beers, my God, when I was growing up, there was just a couple of brands that were very popular. Now there's all kinds of craft beers. And what's the difference between a craft beer and a beer that most people might be used to?
There's not really a fundamental difference. Mm. Beer is beer. one of the foundational experiences I had when I was writing about beer was going to St. Louis to the big Budweiser brewery. Yeah. And having traveled all over Europe already and seeing small breweries and mid-sized breweries and, you know, 400-year-old breweries, walking into that brewery, you know, and expecting to see, I don't know what I expected to see, but you know, something like lab, men in lab coats,
yeah,
synthesizing beer somehow. No, it was just a brewery. You know, they're just making beer. They're making a familiar kind of beer that is maybe not that interesting to a lot of people,
right,
but it's just beer. The craft beer movement, when it came along, was an antidote, much in the way that, you know, good cheese was an antidote to Velveeta, uh-huh, or Starbucks was an antidote to Folgers. Craft beer was an antidote to mass market lagers.
Yes.
We had, you know, artisans making batches of beer in these little vessels and making them out of whole ingredients and in traditional ways. Yeah. And that's how it got started. And, you know, they were very proud of what they did. And the word craft beer was a way of distinguishing what they were doing from the large brewers. But fundamentally, it's all beer.
I think the craft, the IPA, as it was called, they kind of lit the spark underneath the larger manufacturers, in the sense of having peanut butter flavored beer, chocolate flavored beer, similar to what happened with the vodkas. You know, there were no flavored vodkas at a point, and now it's, you can get every flavor under the sun, and every manufacturer is in the game, and so it's like opened the door, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. I mean, you know, capitalism is a funny thing.
Yes,
always. It tends to go towards the mainstream, but the mainstream becomes boring after a while, and then you need to feed that with new innovation. Mm-hmm. So craft beer is sort of like the minor leagues in a way. You know, it's where all the talent comes from.
Interesting, very interesting. The book itself, the Beer Bible, is that it's about the size of the Bible, Jeff. it's quite an undertaking. It's chock full of everything you can imagine about beer, the history thereof, every type, where it comes from. And there are also some pretty interesting illustrations that go way back and kind of give you a love affair that people have with beer.
Yeah, I hope I reflected that love affair. Beer has been around. The more we learn about beer, the more we realize it was around for thousands of years before humans settled down to start civilization. It's, you know, it's one of the most ancient things humans have done. We've had this love affair for a long time. It's not just a product, you know, it's a life of drinking and making the beer and growing the ingredients. People feel about beer very differently than if they feel about, you know, typical consumer products. They have a real romance around it. So I did try to capture all that. And it's, of course, it's ancient. So a lot of the traditions go back, you know, as really as far as we can see.
Did it start in Germany, actually, because we're so familiar with the European beers?
You know, it's going to be hard to identify exactly where the first beer was brewed, but the earliest evidence we have is in an area that's now in Turkey. There's an archaeological dig that goes back to 10,000 BC there, at a place called Göbekli Tepe. And it was a feasting site, and people would come together periodically, and they found evidence of beer there. And this is, you know, this is 5,000 years before civilization started. So whether that's the oldest or just the oldest we have evidence for, it's hard to say, but it's ancient. And wherever grains have grown on the planet, people have made beer. Yeah. So it's part of who we are.
I was taken by the first page of your book. It is so sincere that I nearly choked up. You dedicate the book to a very special person.
Yeah. My dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, you know, he was like so many dads. He drank mass market lagers.
Uh-huh.
You know, I grew up and he would often have a can of beer. And when I was a little kid, he let me sample his beer. You know, most people have a similar story.
Sure.
For most people, they didn't like the taste of the beer. I think maybe something foreshadowing at future events. I actually really liked the taste of the beer. Then later I didn't put this in the book, but, when I first snuck beer, he caught me and he said, well, I got caught. I don't know why you thought you'd get away with this. Yeah. So yeah, we have a great connection and I owe a lot to that man.
It's just that connection that you had, when you expressed that in the first page of the book, that's what some things do in life. You go back to these moments where a parent introduces you, your first beer was with your father. That's kind of like, wow, that's life, man. That's not beer necessarily. It's life. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. I would ask you what your favorite beer is, but probably not appropriate unless you want to answer.
You are correct. It's impossible for me to just choose one. And the more I write about them, the more I appreciate them, and I feel like they're all my favorites. Yeah. So yeah, I couldn't guess.
Yeah. Your reviews are incredible. Sports Illustrated, Food and Wine, Beer Advocate, they're all calling this the Bible that it is. And it is the beer Bible. And if you're into beer, know anybody that has, this is indeed the Bible. It's a religious piece of work is what it is. Jeff, it's fascascinating. It's available everywhere, I assume.
Yes, it is. It should be available at your local indie or at the big online sellers as well, of course.
And how do people follow you and keep in touch and website and all that kind of social talk?
All right. Well, you can find me at Beervana on Twitter or Jeff.Allworth on Instagram, or you can go to my website, beervanablog.com, and there's all my writing, links to my book and my upcoming book tour, which will take me to New England. So if you want to see me in the Boston area or up in Maine, I will have stops there.
Wonderful. Jeff Allworth, it's been a pleasure speaking to you today. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful as usual. I personally don't understand how you listen to this crap, but I'm only kidding. It's not crap. It's just distasteful humor. And interesting guests. Some of them actually are, oddly enough. All right, fine. This is called self-deprecating humor. Look it up. It's a good time. What you do is not only do you make fun of everybody. See, if you make fun of everybody, then you're like a Don Rickles. You're just an insult comic. I don't do that. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm actually pointing things out that don't make any sense. That's the theme of this show that's been going on forever. I point out things that make no sense to me, and possibly they'll make no sense to you too, and we'll form this incredible bond that'll keep us together for the rest of our lives. Not that I want that in any way. I'm just saying that's what could happen. So I'm not making fun of people. I'm just pointing things out that don't make sense to me. And then I'm saying that if I'm going to point out things about other people, then I need to point out things about myself and what I do, because that's only fair. And then you've leveled the playing field. And you said that nothing on this great earth really makes a lot of sense when you come down to it. So what we do is, instead of, what we do, you know what life is, it's tolerant. We tolerate other people. Life isn't so bad. Life's really cool. Life is an incredible experience. It's just that other people get in the way of it. Other people are schmucks and assholes. And when you encounter one of them, it kind of brings you down and it kind of puts like a roadblock up for your good life. It's them. It's the only thing I agree with Donald Trump about. It's not you, it's them. But the problem is with Donald Trump, no, it really is you. It's not them. It's you. So that's a little different. That's actually incredibly different. But for a good person, other people get in the way. The bad people get in the way. And so it's a matter of tolerating and understanding that not everybody is you. Not as wonderful as you, and they do things differently, and that's going to cause problems. And that's what I try to point out on this program, obviously without success. Okay. I'll be back again tomorrow with, and even that whole explanation was just a bunch of entertainment rolled into what seemed to be an interesting comment. It seemed to be, but it wasn't. All right. I'll be back again tomorrow, as I started to say, with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I wish you peace.